Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get in the know. Nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Yeah, certain plays, they get nicked up a little bit, and I feel it at some point, but nothing to really be concerned about, so nothing to affect my play.
Purple Access, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff, executive producer, and of course, the star of the show, my very good friend from the Star Tribune, sports columnist, Chip Scoggins, and that, of course, was Justin Jefferson talking about why he sat out practice on Wednesday with an ankle problem. One of seven guys who did not practice on Wednesday, Anthony Barnee, Ben Ellefson, the tight end, who's a blocking tight end with a knee. Griffin was held out, resting veteran. Justin Jefferson, ankle. Alexander Mattison with a shoulder. Michael Pierce with an elbow. I don't think he's going to play for a while. And Adam Thielen with a foot. Dalvin Cook with his sprained ankle. Obviously didn't play for the second time in three games. Limited. But Chip, let's start here. Your thoughts on barely getting by the Lions, and the Vikings are going along the lines of, hey, a win's a win. You don't understand. We'll take a win. But if that wasn't a cautionary tale and a very lucky win, I don't know what is.
Judd, if they're banking on a win as a win, they're in trouble. Because if Greg Joseph misses that kick, we're not sitting here saying, well, it's a close loss. Mike Zimmer's his seat is going to be scorching hot this week if he doesn't make that 54-yarder. That's not a chip shot. So the fact that they have not scored an offensive touchdown in the second half since week one, that's four games, eight quarters, that they have not scored an offensive touchdown. I don't know how they could sit here. And I know they're just saying a win's a win because Zimmer on Monday basically acknowledged that he pretty much is doing what coaches do during the bye week, which is break down every part of their offense, defense, special teams, self-scout, and see what they're doing well, what they're doing wrong, what they need to fix. Right. And the fact that they're doing that midstream in a game week, yep, tells me that there is, I don't know if panicked is the word, but some real concern about what's going on in offense.
In fact, Dex, can we play that clip? Yeah. So here's exactly what Mike said about what the subject Chip just touched on. Here's exactly what Mike Zimmer said about that on Wednesday.
I gave the coaches a lot of projects to do this week on Monday. And I think probably being a little bit more specific coming out of halftime instead of saying, hey, these are the plays that we're thinking about running, and be, all right, here's what we're going to run. This first play, here's the second play, here's the third play, and we go from there.
Is it almost like a self-scout that you might do during a bye week?
Yeah, we just did a little bit early. I just felt like, it was important to figure out what's going on here.
Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't – although I think – it doesn't seem that complicated. Like, what's going on here? You're too conservative.
Right.
You're running the ball on second and 10 a lot, like, yep, as much as most teams. And so I feel like it's – I don't know how much of it is execution, just overall philosophical approach in terms of let's be conservative, let's not make mistakes, let's, play great defense, special teams, let's win it, win a certain style. And it's just like, did I go back to that end of the first half? And maybe we're nitpicking this too much, but How many quarterbacks in that situation, 41 seconds, you're at your 19, two touchdowns, go through the list of quarterbacks in NFL and teams, if you gave those teams that situation, would say, we're just going to run it out and sit on it. I sit here and think, it's like, why are you paying your quarterback $33 million in? If that's the approach, if it's second long and you're just going to run it all the time, why are you paying the quarterback $33 million? Trust Kirk. I didn't think I'd ever say that. Trust Kirk and Jefferson and Thielen,
right,
to make plays, especially when the Lions could not cover Jefferson in that first half. They couldn't. He was eating them alive. And so I don't understand why they get so ultra conservative, Judd.
And so here's where I'm going to defend Clint Kubiak a bit as well. And now I did say initially, are you really sure that Zimmer wants to hire a 34-year-old kid and your kid at that age who's never called plays because he's Gary's son and because he'll keep the system in place? So I certainly had, from the moment that they made that decision, reservations about how well this would work. But Chip, where I'll defend him too, though, is what you just said. Everything that you just said is not really an indication of Clint Kubiak. It's Zimmer. And so, like, when he's like, we're doing a self-scout and we got to find out what's wrong, you nailed it. It's the conservative nature that the head coach wants offensively. And I don't know if Mike can't see that, if he can't adjust that. I don't know what his issue is. But the answers are actually fairly simple here. And, you know, you're playing the Detroit Lions. Justin Jefferson was making some contested, difficult catches against the secondary that's not great to start with and was banged up. And by the way, against the defense that going into that game was 29th in the league in points allowed. So, like, this is not a we have to script the second half, the third quarter. This is a you've got to take the reins off. And last thing, too, is I don't think that we can talk about the end of the first half against Detroit enough. Because that's where, especially in the postgame press conference, where he didn't handle the question well and got annoyed with Courtney Cronin, he told on himself. He very much made it clear that was he never said that was Clint and we'll talk to him. He said, we had screwed up. I was afraid. That's on Mike. That's not on Clint. That is on one person, the head coach.
Yeah, and it's his answer was, well, we're going to run it the first play and see how many yards we get and then let that dictate. Well, why don't you throw it? Because they had, and I know it's a totally different situation. At the end of the game, you're desperate. You have to score, right?
Right.
But you had less time.
Yes.
You had 37 seconds. So it's possible you can do it. You can do it in the first half. I don't understand the playing not to lose. That's just not a formula. When you look at the way offenses are right now, if you play that way, even teams as bad as the Lions have a chance to come back and it can bite you. And it damn near did. Yes. I mean, you know, and I don't know if they learned something from that. If there's any part of that game that maybe, I don't know if scared is the right word, but just got to Zimmer and said, you know what? We can't do that. We can't play that way because that's just not going to get it done. And I don't know that it will, but it's Judd, I looked up yesterday. Me and you talked about this, you know, yesterday off air, just the eye test and like, gosh, they just don't throw it much. And then I looked at Kirk Cousins' stats. He's eighth in the league in pass attempts.
Yes.
Talk about deceiving or misleading in terms of that stat. Because, you know, he's throwing it more than Aaron Rodgers. He's throwing it more than Kyler Murray. He's throwing it more than Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. But it's the type of throws. It's not enough just to throw it. They have to be purposeful. Throw the ball down the field. It can't be checkdowns. It can't be a 3rd and 10 check down and think that that's accomplishing anything. Right. So I want to see more purposeful throws. Yeah. And so I know you have an identity and who you are and all this, but there has to be some recognition of, you know what, this ain't working. This is not working.
No.
So we have to do something different.
And it doesn't look this is not the day and age of Christian Ponder, Michael Jenkins, Aroma Shadu. You know, at that point in time, it was like, well, who's going to catch the ball? The quarterback's not that good. You have constructed an offense that I think, as much as Zim would hate to hear this, I think is the identity of your team. Like, your offense is your identity. And it's all kid gloves. It's all like, well, if Kirk... And I don't know how often Kirk is checking down or being safe. I don't know if this is Clint trying to appease Mike, but I am just not willing to remove blame from the head coach totally.
No.
And it feels like, Chipper, that we're going back to, well, my defense is starting to play well now, so don't mess this up. Dude, you're the head coach. I mean, and this is also the start of the DeFilippo snowball. It's the same type of things where he starts off sort of talking about the offense. We got to run more. And the next thing you know, the house is on fire.
Jed, I think the defense is – the run defense isn't great, obviously.
No.
And I think, you know, they're not holding – you're not giving up a lot of points the last couple weeks, and that's good. But it felt like he coached that game Sunday as if he had the 85 Bears defense. And, like, no matter what they did on offense, you know, Detroit was never going to be able to score. And so I think the defense is obviously a lot better than they were last year, but I don't think that you can just say we're going to win that way, right? Right. And that we can just be conservative on offense. And it's just not maximizing your talent. It's not. I mean, it's not maximizing Cousins. It's not maximizing Jefferson, Thielen. You feel like it's just and I agree with you. I think the lion's share of the blame goes to Zimmer, because if he wanted something different, he runs the team. He's going to get something different, right?
Correct.
So if now I don't know how much, you know, input Kubiak can have in terms of trying to sway Zimmer's opinion. I'm guessing probably not a whole lot, because Zimmer has his we've seen this play before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't. Yeah. I. You know, he is the coordinator, but Zimmer, this is how Zimmer's, he wants his team to run and operate. And so I think he gets the bulk of the criticism.
Mike's in what, year 8?
Yeah.
So explain this one too. How do you end up with a 34-year-old in charge of the offense with this guy when we know for a fact he loves veteran coaches? He loved Gary. Now the Dennison thing is tricky, because Rick got kicked out basically, and is now Skyping in because he didn't get the COVID shot. So I think he was seen as the buffer, but you don't have a buffer now. I mean, this is
if we didn't have
the DeFilippo thing to fall back on, I might say like this will resolve itself. But we've seen this. You're right. We've been to this play before. We sat by the orchestra pit. We watched it. I don't need to go see it again. It's an expensive play.
How much of it do you think this is different, though, than DeFilippo in the fact that this is Gary's kid? And that there you have that.
He's already going down the path, Chip. He's already going down the path of we're doing a self-scout. We've got them looking at this. We've got them looking at that. We've got to figure out what's wrong. I think at some point in time during the course of a season, I don't know that Mike cares whose kid you are. His frustration, I think in Mike's mind, what he is seeing now is my defense is starting to play pretty well. How dare the offense bleep it up? And that's not the way to see this.
No, and it's funny too, because he said, I got some projects for him, you know, all day Monday, and we're looking at tendencies on second long. It's like, I can tell you the tendency. You run the ball a lot. Yeah. I mean, last year, Ben Gessling, my colleague, he had the stat in his Monday day after thing. I think last year they had the second highest run rate on second long, and this year I think it's fifth highest. And so, even when it's not Dalvin Cook in there, and I don't know if it's the best strategy when Dalvin Cook's in there.
It's not.
But they just do not come off that. And I had hoped, probably foolishly, that Kubiak would bring something different or be able to bring something different in those situations, whether it was second and short or second long, being able to take shots and try to get big chunk plays. But it's just – and the problem is, by doing that, you find yourself in third and long again.
Right.
Because you're just, I mean, when it's second and 10, just how many yards do you think you're going to get?
And Mackey had a great stat, because in third and long, the Vikings in 36%. So they're actually pretty good in that.
Yeah.
So there's more incentive ever then to pass. Like, if teams know third and long, you're going to pass. Teams know that, but guess what? Kirk throws a nice ball, and Thielen and Jefferson and Osborne are really good. So why aren't you exploring the space? I mean, second down, second long or short, it's like a blank
canvas. Automatic.
Yeah. It's a blank canvas. Explore the space. Don't, you know, Alexander Mattison's going to run the football. And that's on Mike. I'm not going to blame
100%.
Mike. That's Mike, because we can trace it back.
Because here's the thing. Zimmer could say, stop doing that. Take more chances. I mean, it's his team. He can absolutely tell him what to do. And so the fact that it keeps happening tells you this is what Zimmer wants. Right. And it's just, the fact that they got away with it in Detroit, I mean, yeah, that's win or loss. I mean, yeah, I mean,
you're lucky as hell.
It might have saved his job, yep, potentially. Who knows? Yep. But yeah, I'm curious to see what it looks like Sunday at Carolina. Now you're going to get some good defense, mm-hmm, but
that's the problem.
We will, yeah, it is a problem, but will it look different? Well, just to the eye test, will it look different? I think it has to, Judd.
It will. I know exactly what's going to happen. It will look different until it doesn't work perfectly. If there's an interception, if something goes wrong, and then it goes back.
That's we tried.
We tried to do it, and Kirk threw an interception. Now we can't do it anymore. Instead of, okay, Kirk's going to get picked sometimes. I mean, Kirk Cousins, to be very clear here, in 2021 is not the problem.
No.
Kirk Cousins, is he the perfect quarterback? Far from it. But am I going to sit here and blame him for everything? Absolutely not.
No.
But
no.
Carolina, it will. Here's the issue is the Panthers are top five, I believe. I believe that they are like second in scoring defense. They're first in pass defense. They're very high in total defense. And I think they're eighth against the run. And so this is all going to be like, we are going to come out in third quarter and turn over a new leaf. But if he throws a pick, if something goes wrong, if a ball gets dropped, Mike is going to have he's going to think, yeah, you know what? This is exactly what I knew would happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the problem is like, you might try it, but what's your patience level?
Correct.
If things aren't perfect or go exactly. And it's like, no, that's, you can't just kind of flick at it and say, well, we tried, it didn't work. I mean, doesn't it come down to you rank your best players on offense?
Yep.
Particularly if you take Dalvin out of the mix, to me, your best players are Cousins, Jefferson, Thielen. Well, I think I'd want to get those guys the most touches. Right? Yeah.
Well, Justin Jefferson, make no mistake. I think he's a really good kid. I think he's a good-natured kid, and I think he'll probably stay quiet. But his frustration's mounting. No way.
Well, Judd, and I wasn't there. You were there after the game Sunday. I don't know if they were veiled shots, but there were guys basically saying, well, we just have to run whatever it's called. Which to me, we've been around long enough to saying, that's guy saying, yeah, I wish we could have done something different. You know?
Yeah. Well, Thielen, Chipper, he didn't officially catch a pass until that last desperation drive that started with 37 seconds on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he had take it back from the Herndon.
Yeah. But I mean, he was basically a non-entity in that game plan. And look, I am all for JJ being atop the list of guys who catch passes. I think that should be the norm probably, but you know, you didn't throw the ball.
And I think it's
throw the ball.
And Judd, I think it's way too convenient to say, well, they had the cloud cover and it was a cover too. And there was nothing. It's like, you know what? Every team in the league is going to try to take away your best players. You have to counter that. You have to figure out ways to scheme them open. I mean, that's part of why you're getting all this money. I mean,
yes,
that's, you can't just throw up your hands and say, well, they're cloud cover, cover two, can't do anything. I mean, that's too convenient. I'm sorry.
What's the old coaches saying? We have to impose our will.
Sure.
That means that we don't like look at the Detroit Lions and say, oh, cloud coverage from the Lions. Oh man, a great job by Man Campbell. Man Campbell out, never expected cloud coverage. You know.
Yeah, we can't throw it. Yeah. I mean, that's just now, I'm not saying be reckless and throw in a triple coverage, but there's ways to get Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen the ball, and you can scheme things for him. I'm sorry. You tell us all the time, you spend countless hours reviewing film and going over things. Yeah. You should be able to counter adjust to those things.
And plus, Chip, the first catch that Jefferson made, which was a great catch and a really nice throw.
Yeah.
He was covered very thoroughly.
Tight.
He went up and got the ball. Like if you are to go back to your point, if you are literally saying, well, if a guy is covered too much, Kirk can't make that throw, then your question's 1,000% right. Why are you paying him?
Yeah.
Like bring Keenum back then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is
just don't trust a guy.
Yeah. But that's, you know, like if I was the Wilson, I was sitting there and watched like the end of that first half. I'm like, what are we doing here? We painted this guy a lot.
Yeah. And the second half would have driven me crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, on that team, I'm not happy at all.
No, I'd be like, hey, you know, you convinced us to spend $30 million on a quarterback that's handing the ball off. Like, what's the plan here, guys? You know? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that, you know, creates any kind of substantive shift in how they run this offense. I tend to doubt it, but I think that would – the fact that they were doing the self-scout and Zimmer's at least saying, okay, let's take a look at this, you know, maybe he will be open to some feedback from Kubiak and said, Mike, hey, we can't be running on second and 10 all the time.
Yeah. If this doesn't go well on Sunday, here's my hot take. And it seems like a lot at first, but I don't think it's a huge hot take. If this doesn't go well and Mike's frustrated because there's nobody else, like, you're not going to fire Clint. There's no Stefanski. No. There's no, let's just put the tight ends coach in charge. During the bye week, I'm making a phone call to a ranch in Houston, Texas. And I'm saying, let's do a last dance here, boys, because we're all going to be fired if we can't. Let's get the old man back, not as my coordinator, though, okay? To be clear, bring him back as an offensive advisor for the last 11 games. And here's why. It's not because Clint can't call plays. I need the buffer, and I need – and if Mike won't listen to what Clint is saying, I don't fault Clint there. I knew this would happen.
I don't think that would happen because I don't think – Gary would do that to his kid because it would be viewed as dad coming in to save the day. 100%. That's the way he might
respond. But he might have to.
I don't think he would do that to his son, though. I mean, because that would basically ruin his image as an offense coordinator. Like, oh, dad has to come.
But he's barely done. Like he was a tight ends coach at one point, quarterbacks coach.
I know.
So and plus he did it for Stefanski. Like that helped Stefanski.
Well, no, if it, you know. His name was Clint Zolgad. I don't think it'd be a problem, but because of the fact it's his dad,
right.
I don't think Gary would have any part of that.
But this is a Mike problem, and Gary can now if Gary came in to call plays, you're 1,000% right. Then it's a disaster. But if Gary comes in to basically be the buffer, the guy in between, I don't know that. I mean, Mike doesn't play well with youngsters.
Yeah,
he just doesn't. He doesn't like kids that much. He's a guy he wants his crusty drinking buddies to talk football with and to swear at and to get frustrated with. And I feel for Clint here. Clint is in a very difficult position.
What's that? What's that Ocean's 12 movie where Matt Damon's mom has to come bail him out?
I didn't see the Ocean's movies.
It was like, oh, you did? Oh my god!
No.
It's the one where they get back and they're in Europe and they stage this whole thing.
Yeah. It's actually I actually haven't seen Ocean. I've seen Ocean's 10. I don't think I've seen Ocean's 12.
This is like 11 or 12. Yeah. You got to watch it where they're in Europe and Matt Damon's mom pretends to be like someone from the U.S. government that's coming extraditing him. And it really is his mom. And he's like, Mom, you got to come bail me out. I told you I could do this myself. That's what that's your homework. I'm giving you a project. Both of you guys projects.
You're like cousins. did you hear? Did you hear list of films? Like Kirk Cousins.
He hasn't watched The Firm? Who hasn't watched The Firm?
At the podium is the most boring guy. But then you got to ask one question about the thing that it came up Sunday,
the
field about, and it turned out Tyler Conklin hadn't seen like any movies from the 90s. And so they've got him watching like 25 films and he was going through the list. It was awesome.
I know he's like all the Nicolas Cage, but then all the, like, he hasn't seen the John Grisham's one. He hasn't seen, when he said he hadn't seen The Firm, I'm like, what? Who hasn't seen The Firm?
Yeah, exactly. He's young.
I guess it's probably not in his wheelhouse.
Your thoughts on the Cousins Zimmer chest thump thing? Like, I found it intriguing. I did not get super excited because sidelines are so weird.
Yeah, I just chalked it up as an awkward moment between two awkward guys that their personalities don't really match. I didn't try to read too much into that one. A guy just made a winning kick. I'm sure there was probably 5 minutes of sheer panic on that sideline. Maybe not showing it, but just internally, like, oh my God, we're going to lose to the Lions this way.
With Mike, I bet, too.
Yeah, and so I think when he made that kick, it probably just came out in an awkward way, and I didn't, you know, I know Zimmer didn't look happy with it, but I'm not going to read. I don't think there's anything like there's a schism, you know. I just don't think their personalities match. They probably don't particularly care for each other too much. But it was a heat of the moment, excite, you know, release. I just
left for Kirk, for sure. I think for Mike, it was what you just said. Sheer relief of, oh my God, we almost lost that. I think Kirk is so in life, so situationally unaware of things that he's just like a fifth grade kid. We won the football game. I showed him. Coach. Yeah. And Mike's like, oh my God, I almost got fired. And it did come off like two guys celebrating in completely different ways. And Mike
spheres, yeah, universes.
And Mike was probably right. And Kirk is just like, we won pizza party.
Yeah. You like that? No, I just want to go back and forget this ever happened.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, freshen it up, Kirk. Get a new line. Okay.
I know.
Like you like that ran its course a while ago.
Has he he's trademarked that, I assume.
Right? I think he tried, didn't he? I'm not sure he did, but I think he tried to do it.
Everybody trades more. I assume he did. So it's you know, partly his thing, but and it's, I'm not sure I'd do it after beating the Lions,
but that's what I said. And that's exactly what I said is Kirk's celebration, in my opinion, was out of line for the situation. I would have been happy and I would have given Mike a hug and been like, okay, thank God we pulled that out. And I would have gotten off the field and said, oh boy. And the other thing too, is I would not have carried the kicker off the field. Come on.
Although good moment for that guy after, you know,
but he said put me down. Greg Joseph said put me down. He said don't carry me off the field.
Yeah. Well.
And the players were like, we're gonna carry you off the field. He's like, you beat the Lions. Do you understand this?
I think Zimmer probably was like, you're relieved that you won, but if I was coaching, I would be like, this is not gonna work. Like what happened? This is not we should not be happy with how this went. So I think that was probably in his mind. I know some people we made it probably more than just because of what the relationship's been. And that's natural when you see that.
Correct.
You're like, whoa, boy. Oh,
and it did look,
what was that all about? You know,
it looked awkward.
It looked bad. Yeah. It looked more than awkward. It looked bad. It looked like Mike was ready to fight him. But,
all right. Before we get to game predictions for what's going to go on in Carolina on Sunday, Chip Scoggins, I want to talk about not just my favorite beer, but your favorite beer as well. In fact, I just happen to have one right here. Oh, Surly Furious IPA. So, Chip, I talk about this beer, Surly, and Furious in particular, all the time. So tell me from your past week, your Furious story.
I had two the other night after a long day of work. There's nothing better when you've had a long day at work, you're finished, you're settling in to watch a little Major League Baseball playoffs, crack open that Furious. The only problem is, Judd, we're going to end this here in a few minutes. I got to make a beer run. I get to my store to stock up on
that's what I've been encouraging people to do now.
I'm out.
Go to your local liquor store and pick up your Surly Furious.
That's the only problem is it runs out, so you have to go back. So I'm making the run as soon as we get off here.
Not a problem. It feels good. It feels good. You put that thing right in the backseat of your car and you say, I'm going to drink you during college football. All right. Game prediction, Carolina. It's the difference between 2-4 and 3-3 before the bye and an incredibly tough stretch of games.
Yeah. You know, it's the way Darnold's playing now and throwing picks. You wonder where he's at confidence wise, where that offense is. I like the way Zimmer's defense is playing in terms of rushing the passer. I like the way Everson Griffin, what he's given him. Yep. I think he might throw a couple picks.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that game Sunday. It just, unless they reinvent themselves here quickly and do things differently offensively, I think they go down there and lose a close game, a low scoring game. I think both defenses are going to kind of have the upper hand. So I would say, you know, 23-20 Carolina.
Mm. So McCaffrey is probably expected back, correct? We don't know yet for sure.
I think so, yeah. So he was close, right? Wasn't he close?
Yes, he's very close, I think. And and so the Panthers started the year with three consecutive wins. They've lost their last two games, including a tough loss to the Eagles last Sunday. This strikes me as the type of game, especially they're coming off a win, but it was a bad win. I don't care what people say. This strikes me as a Vikings game. This strikes me as a weird, like, oh my God, they won that game. I'm going, I am going 21-17 Vikings. It's just a weird, like every time I'm just like, okay, that Detroit game was such crap. They're dead now. They do something weird. And I do think that there will be, enough freedom offensively now because something has to change. And Mike knows that this is on Mike. It's going to be difficult, but I think they can put up 21. And the question then becomes, how much pressure can you apply on Darnold? And the key thing too is the run game, or especially the run defense, because I don't trust it. Like you still got gashed in the first half by Detroit. That concerns me, but I'm going 21-17 Vikings. The problem is coming back from the bye, all hell could break loose. That's the problem. Like that's so tough.
Yeah. And it's, you're right. And maybe every team's this way, but the Vikings do have those where you think everything's going this way and they come back and just play lights out one week. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And you, and then they lay another egg, you know, 2 weeks later. But I don't know. I need to see more offensively before I feel like they're going to be able to do that against a good defense on the road.
Good point. Last thing on off topic slightly. Your thoughts on last Saturday's slate of college football. It's a sport that you love, and it might be one of the best ones in my lifetime.
It was an epic weekend, and I know this is an NFL Viking show, but last Saturday showed, without a sliver of doubt, why college football is the greatest sport ever invented. And I say that not as an opinion, but as a fact. it was... Every game, I mean, just the drama, the close finishes, the shootouts. And I know people hate, there's some people just hate the shootouts and lack of defense. I think just that day with all the different upsets and back and forth and just storming the fields is why I love that sport. I don't know how you can sit there and watch that all day Saturday and not come away like, oh my God, both I love this and I'm emotionally drained.
That's what I was. It was fantastic. It was absolutely great. All right, Chip, get in that car, go to your local store, and pick up for the weekend. In fact, you know what? Two packs. So you don't run out quickly. Surly Furious IPA. We'll talk to you on Purple Access next week, Chipper.
All right, brother.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for 2, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.